Mairead McGuinness, now obviously a huge vote, very crucial vote in the House of Commons today, likely to be rejected unless something extraordinary happens. What do you think will be the implications of a rejection of Theresa May's Brexit deal today?
Well, I think one of the things that everyone's talking about today with absolutely no certainty is what happens after the vote in the House of Commons. Because as you've said, the predictions are that Theresa May, the Prime Minister, will lose the vote. What we're probably looking at is an analysis of the extent of her loss. So will it be by a margin of 50 or a margin of 200? And how do we interpret that signal from the House of Commons? To some extent, our conversations today are taking place in lifts and corridors and over coffees, because it is very hard for us to second guess what will be the outcome of this vote. We've heard all the debate. I think the only thing that's certain is that the British public, and indeed it's reflected in the House of Commons, don't have a clear path as to what where they want to be in relation to Brexit. And the difficulty for us is the lack of time in which to complete all of this process. So for today, we're almost in a way just wait and watching to see what will happen, because there are some twists and turns around amendments that may be tabled, which might have an outcome in relation to the final vote. But there are all sorts of scenarios being predicted. And to some extent, while it's interesting, it's probably not helpful to work them through at this stage, other than Europe and indeed Ireland is preparing for a no deal, because we have to be mindful that that is one of the possibilities, and it is the one possibility where we need to prepare for, because it will be such a dramatic outcome that it will impact quite severely on the UK first of all, but clearly on all member states and in particular Ireland.
Of course, there's talk about extending Article 50, so in other words, the deadline for Britain to leave the EU, talk about maybe extending it to July. That will move into European parliamentary elections. How is that all going to play out? Is it possible to extend Article 50?
One of the things that is definitely being mentioned is that the British Prime Minister may have to look for an extension of Article 50, because that even if the vote were to go her way this evening, it may be very tight to complete all of the legal and other preparations necessary. And if the vote goes against her, as is predicted, then in 3 days she comes back to the House of Commons, but we don't know what she will come back with. So because time is so tight, I think a lot of people are anticipating that an extension of Article 50 may be requested. We then have to see how long that extension would be and how Europe will react. I think will depend on what the time will be used for and how long is requested. As you rightly say, European Parliament elections take place in May. As of today, the British will not be part of those elections because they will be leaving at the end of March. If there's an extension of Article 50, we are faced with that question mark whether there will be European Parliament elections in the United Kingdom. For how long might those members sit? And that has knock-on effects on Ireland and other member states who, as you know, were to gain some seats because the United Kingdom was leaving. In Ireland's case, we were getting 2 extra seats. It does leave all of us in this unknown territory, at least for another couple of weeks, as to whether we definitely have those 2 seats, whether they might be delayed in terms of becoming available, and whether the United Kingdom will look for a longer period of extension of Article 50 to allow for them to have elections. So, I mean, every day I wake up, there's more complexity rather than less when I think about Brexit, which is why over Christmas many of us tried not to think about Brexit, but that proved to be impossible because it is the one big issue that is, if you like, a cloud over everything else, and there are many other issues facing Europe and indeed the United Kingdom.
And what do you make about this recent written assurances from the EU to Theresa May's government that the contingency customs arrangements, the backstop in other words, that have been proposed would be temporary if triggered would last for the shortest possible period?
Well, I think what Europe is saying to the United Kingdom is that the backstop is not our best option. We don't want to have to trigger the backstop. It is an insurance policy. And I would have thought that would give both sides, Europe and the United Kingdom, if you like, the push to complete the future partnership talks and to get to a finality on that without needing to trigger the backstop. But it's very clear from a European perspective that if it were triggered, we again would not like it to be a forever situation. We want clarity, and therefore we would want to see that within the shortest possible period of time, we would complete the talks on the future partnership. And I think that should be possible, because already attached to the withdrawal agreement is a lot of detail around the future relationship. Now, whether those reassurances will change the minds of hard Brexiteers or not, I think the answer is probably no. It may persuade those who are somewhat in the middle of this debate to think twice and to perhaps go with the Prime Minister in tonight's vote. But we cannot really assess that until we see the outcome of the vote. But I think the European Union has gone as far as it can to reassure the United Kingdom of our good faith in all of these negotiations. And we perhaps need to hear the same from the United Kingdom, because it is in all our interests, particularly of those that we serve, which are our constituents across Europe, in my case, Midlands, North, West, and in the United Kingdom, that we do the best for them. And the best for them is to reach a negotiated settlement.